Well, good morning, everyone, and I hope you all had a great week. I'll just be a little transparent here. I'll say that my week was okay. It wasn't terrible. It was just okay. And sometimes okay is good enough, because God always has something great planned ahead for all of us. So we can hold on in faith, knowing that this is true, even in things or times where things are not going so well. We can still joyfully say, I'm okay. It's all right. Things will turn around. We don't know exactly when everything will turn around in our lives, if things are going not so good, but God promises that it will. And that's why I can stand up here and say it's okay right now. You know, we're in week two of the What If series. This is a series of sermons that ask deep questions concerning what is written in God's Word. The question each week starts off with a what if. Now, last week I asked, what if we had faith that could move mountains? How would your life look different? How would the life of this church, our community, our nation, and even this entire planet look different if we had the kind of faith that Jesus said we should have? This week, I have another question, another what if question. And if we respond to this question in the right way and live our lives in this perspective, it will change how we look and how we respond to everything in our life, no matter what comes our way. It is the very reason that I can stand up here today saying, I'm okay, even though inside I don't feel so great inside. You know, in a couple days from now, it will be a whole year that Aaron and I have been without Owen. You know, we went to see a grief counselor in those days, in those months after Owen went to heaven, and the grief counselor told us that these anniversaries are very, very painful. And even if we try to ignore them, that pain will come. And I didn't really understand what our grief counselor was really talking about when she was telling us all this, until recently, until this week. As the anniversary of that terrible night approaches, the pain these past few days have come rushing back into my life, and it's trying to take hold of my very soul. And I do want to just share a quick testimony on how the Lord has spoken to me over these past few days leading into the anniversary of Owen going to heaven. Now, my wife is a lot more open than me about how she is feeling inside regarding Owen's passing. And I tend to hold my feelings in when speaking to my wife about Owen. It's not that I don't like talking about Owen. I love talking about Owen and his life and the laughter we had. But the painful part, I tend to avoid talking with Aaron. I think it's because I'm trying to protect my wife from any further pain, or maybe even protecting myself a little bit from any further pain, and trying to refocus us both on something else or on Owen's life instead, the good times. But the Lord helped me realize this week that it's not only in the good times in life that we need to be thinking about. We have to think and deal with the painful parts of life. So this week I asked Jesus, Lord, I was just honest with him. I said, Lord, how can I deal with this year after year as this anniversary approaches? How can I live my entire life without having my son? The son that you gave me. Do you ever wish in those moments of pain, that whatever pain you're in, where you're crying out to God, that Jesus would just somehow physically show up wrap his arms around you and talk with you one-on-one. You know, that's what I was hoping for this week, and I can't say that happened. But once I realized that Jesus wasn't coming back down to earth to speak directly to me in the flesh, I did what Christians are supposed to do. I went to God's Word. This book is God's voice to us, given directly to each and every one of us here on earth. God speaks to us through His Word. He comforts us through His Word. And He gives us hope through His Word. So that is where I went. And listen to where the Holy Spirit pointed me to as I asked those questions to God. How can I live without my son? If you have your Bibles, take them out and turn with me to Psalms 39, verse 5. It should also be up on the screen. This verse and one other verse that I'm going to share with you all is where God pointed me to the answers that I was seeking this week. And it just so happens it had to be on the next topic that I was going towards this week. So that's, you know, the Holy Spirit sort of has a way to make things all fall in place. But see, these were the same questions and answers that David, King David, was seeking after God when David's own son died. And the pain that followed afterwards in David's life. God gave David these words to speak, and these words are for us today. David said, "You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." You know, our life is so short compared to eternity. You know, the older you get, the more you begin to understand this. I remember when I was a kid, I told my grandfather that when I grew up, I was either going to be a professional baseball player or a race car driver. My grandpa laughed and looked at me in the eyes and said, "Don't worry so much about growing up. It'll come faster than you think. And then it will be over. Just enjoy the ride." Well, now I'm 47 years old, and I realize how right my grandpa was. It seems like he just told me that just a few short years ago, but I was probably only 7 or 8 years old at the time. Life does go by in a breath, in a flash, in a mist. Now, here is the other verse the Holy Spirit pointed to me this week. It is found in the New Testament book of James. Turn with me to James chapter 4, verse 14. Now, this really was the answer that God gave me and the one I was seeking after and how I could live the rest of my life without Owen. God said this to me, and He says it to all of you. He says, "Why? You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say," when I read this, it said, "instead, you ought to say, Mike, it is the Lord's will we will live. If it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." Now, that was even better advice than my grandpa gave me years ago. But I think my grandpa was also onto something. Those two verses were the answers that God responded to me. God didn't try to tell me to ignore my pain. As a matter of fact, God didn't even seem to attempt to even take my pain away. God just gave me a different perspective to look at it all. And God wants you all to have the same perspective on life, no matter what you are dealing with in this life, no matter what comes your way, even if you're facing death, God wants you to have a different perspective. So today, I get to the what if question. What if you lived your life with an internal perspective on life? You know, we get so caught up in the now. We get so caught up in how we are feeling now. We get so caught up on what we desire now. And if we're not careful, this kind of earthly perspective on the now will destroy you. So in God's love, He gives us another perspective to look at life. It is a perspective that is true and more real than anything that could ever be gained in this life alone on earth. There are benefits of living your life from above and from the internal perspective instead of living from the temporal perspective of this world. So what is the response you're going to give God in both the good times and the bad times? What is the response of your heart? That's what God is really asking us. So let's talk about that a bit today and the benefits of living your life with an eternal perspective. The first benefit is there is more hope. There are a lot of things and areas of life that we think brings us some hope, and some of it does. We hope on things like, I hope I get that job. I talked about that a little bit last week. I hope I really get that job that I really want. I hope I can make more money to help better support my family. I hope I can have strong relationships with a certain person that I love or I respect. There are many things in many areas in life in this world that we hope for, and there's nothing wrong with having hope like this in good things in life. If it is used to build good relationships and ultimately to give God the honor and the glory. However, if that is where all your focus is, which is hoping on things that this world can bring you, sorry to say, you're going to end up very disappointed in life. And for some people, sadly, in deep despair. The Apostle Paul addresses this issue by ultimately pointing at death that everyone is going to face eventually. No one on this earth will ever overcome death except through Jesus Christ. So Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17 through 19. Paul says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep or died are in Christ, are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." Do you understand what Paul is saying here in this verse, in these two verses? You know, these words are really particularly directed at Christians, believers. I mean, they still apply to the unbeliever because they need to be in Christ to have eternal life. But the last part of this verse is really directed at Christians. Paul is saying here that if you are holding on to Jesus only for this life now, and what you can get out of this life now through Jesus Christ, you are missing the bigger point. Last week I shared about the prosperity preachers out there and the word of faith preachers out there who say that if you have enough faith, you can gain anything and do anything in this life. But you see, that is so contrary to what the Apostle Paul just said here. And it's so contrary to what the Word of God in the New Testament says. If all your hope is on what you can gain through Christ in this life now, Paul says you should be pitied. Why does Paul say that? It's because Jesus has so much more for you than this life can ever, ever give you. Jesus has provided for all who believe in Him life eternal with a treasure stored up in heaven. Now, I don't know what this treasure is all about. I know that the Word says that if we live for the kingdom here on earth, we build up a treasure in heaven. Since this treasure is coming from God himself and his promise to all followers of Jesus as they live for the kingdom now, what could this world ever give us that can compare to that promise? Nothing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21, he says, "Do not store up yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Wow, Jesus just really has a way to knock us right between the eyes. Jesus is basically saying, where is your heart found? It's not too hard to answer that question. Just look at where you spend most of your time or spend most of your money. Is it serving the Lord? Serving his church? Serving other people that Jesus loves? Or is it spent mostly on pleasures, activities, and what feels good for us now? You know, I know that is hard for us to hear, but that is what Jesus is talking about, storing up treasures on earth. That's what Jesus is in part of my pain of crying. It's not that Jesus doesn't understand and doesn't care about my pain. He understands it better than I understand it. But that's what he's saying to me in that other verse in James that he showed me. What are you doing now, Mike? Because I have a treasure stored up for you in heaven. I know you're in pain. But what are you doing now? Where's your heart? It really comes down to that, where our heart is. Jesus wants our heart. Now, some Christians wonder what this promised treasure in heaven is. As I said, I don't know for sure. Maybe some other pastors here can tell me. But I don't know what exactly sure. I don't really know what this treasure is. But I do know that being with Christ is the ultimate treasure. Perfect relationships between each other is another great treasure. Experiencing love like we've never done before is another great treasure. Seeing those in Christ who have passed before us, like Andrew, Owen, Adam, is another amazing treasure. You know, God's word even says we get a new uncorruptible body when Jesus resurrects a believer from the dead. And for some of us, that's a treasure within itself. We have to make fun of ourselves a little bit. The point is when you realize the treasures that God has for you in heaven, it makes no sense to focus on the very short benefits of this life. Is your heart on God's kingdom, or is it on the temporary that this world has? So in the meantime, while we wait for the Lord to call us home or when he returns, we are to live with this eternal perspective on life. This life is but a vapor, but a mist. It's gone before we even know it. But Jesus gives us eternal life forever and ever. There's no one, nothing in this world that can ever take that away from you, can ever steal your joy of knowing this. It should be a joy that even when I can stand up here and say, I feel okay, but I know it's going to get better. That's the joy. Let me put it this way. I remember when my kids were little. I've got my son and daughter here today, and I was blessed to have a pretty good job when they were little, and I could afford to buy them pretty decent Christmas presents. Of course, my wife and I had to hide the Christmas presents because my kids had a habit of sneaking a peek, of especially my daughter Anna, where she's probably downstairs in the nursery. She was bad at that. She always looked. But I just enjoyed witnessing the excitement my kids had leading up to Christmas morning. They just knew that their mom and dad had something special planned, something special that they desired and asked on their Christmas list, and they just knew that we'd probably get it for them. Yeah, they were a little spoiled. But again, there was nothing really wrong with enjoying some of the good things in life, because all good things come from God anyway. And sadly, though, there are so many children in this world who don't get to have presents under the Christmas tree. You see, that joy from the world was stolen from them. It was taken, I don't know, for whatever reason. So we also have to realize, even in the good times, we have to realize that the joy from this world can be stolen from us at any time. But the joy from God can never be taken away, ever. That's the promise. The second benefit of living with an eternal perspective is you will have more freedom to obey God's will for your life. In Mark 4:18 through 19, Jesus was teaching his disciples about the seeds of faith that are planted within a person and why some people fall away and never grow closer to God. Some fall away completely. In verse 18 and 19, Jesus said, "Still others, like seeds sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitfulnesses of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." Living for things set above in heaven sets us free from all of that worry. A true follower of Christ is set free from the desires of obtaining earthly wealth, from being popular, from anything that this world can that we desire. All these desires we know will eventually fade away. But when we hold on to them, what remains is worry and anxiety. And some of those desires are even sinful desires. A Christian is supposed to be set free from all of that so they can be better used to serve God here on earth and do his will. Remember when Jesus taught his disciples how to pray? Jesus recited the Lord's, we call it the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was that we would be given our daily bread so we can live. But the Lord also taught us to pray to bring heaven here on earth. That's God's will for your life, is to bring heaven on earth through following him. We are not to sit here and worry about every single thing that comes along to try to steal our joy. I remember I just said, you can't steal joy when it's already stored up in heaven. It's there. The treasures are there. If your focus is always on what this world can bring, though, you will be filled with worry and anxiety. I realize that more than ever now, that the enemy will do everything in his power to keep us away from experiencing the joy and the promises of God. The enemy does this by trying to get us focused on earthly desires, even good earthly desires, that usually brings about worry. The enemy does this so we can stop doing God's will on earth. Aaron and I know this all too well now. And as I said, God's not telling us to forget about Owen. He knows what he means to us. He's just telling us, I have a treasure stored up for you. Church, if we are in Christ Jesus, he is your Savior. Then stop giving in to the worries of life. Jesus already paid it all for you. He took everything for you. All that worry is doing is destroying you. Jesus died so you can experience everything God has to offer you, to offer for your life. God's will is that all people shall come to know the truth, and the truth will set them free to be saved. And God wants you, the church, to be part of bringing his kingdom here on earth. But you can't do it by allowing the enemy and believing the lies of the enemy. We're almost done here, but I got two more benefits I do want to share. The third benefit with an eternal perspective on life is a Christian matures in the Lord and produces even more spiritual fruit. Christian maturity in the kingdom of God comes with obedience to God's will, to the will of God. as I spoke on the second benefit of having freedom by letting go of life's worries, this should also bring you freedom now. If you're not holding on to the ways of the world and holding on to the worries of the world, now you're free to obey God. As mature Christians' outlook, any mature Christian's outlook on life completely changes. What used to seem important doesn't seem so important anymore. The mature Christian is always looking to do things that have eternal value, not temporary desires or temporary pleasures. The mature Christian cares about people more, loves people more, just like Jesus did. They want to see that person that they say they care about and love in eternity with them. It matters more than anything in this world. It matters more than going out, having great times. Not that that's bad, but it coming and showing people who Christ is comes first before anything. Serving God's kingdom, it matters more than everything else. All too often, Christians will say they believe in heaven and believe in eternity, but ignore hell. They ignore that the person that they say they love will be eternally separated from God if they don't have Jesus. Ignoring this with people who are not believers and saying that we love them, that's not love. That's the worst kind of hate that you can ever put on a person. Now, I admit, I struggle with that sometimes myself. Living within this perspective, I have to be reminded continually of that. And when I don't take time with Jesus and in his word, I forget. But as I said, Jesus has a way of knocking you between the eyes and saying, wake up. This is what I want you to do, Mike. You know, but sadly, the average Christian thinks to themselves, when they go to church, you know, what does the church have to offer me? How good is the worship music? How good is the preaching? What is the leadership going to do to grow the church? And if any particular church is not meeting their individual or family needs, they move on to the next one. That is not what Christ says where his church was intended to be. That's not how we're supposed to be as his followers. Jesus expects all his disciples to grow, to serve, to grow to maturity, to do something for his kingdom, to bring heaven on earth. That is your responsibility as a disciple of Christ, and to go out and make more disciples. That's how heaven's going to come here on earth, before Jesus comes back, that is. And even if persecution or suffering or pain comes your way, it will not stop you from living in this eternal perspective as a mature Christian. That is why the Apostle Paul can say in Philippians chapter 1, 21, he said, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Paul completely understood this for his life because he understood that life that he was living in the now was just a vapor, just a breath. And he had a short time here on earth to make an eternal difference. And even if someone took his life, because of the message of the gospel, it was only a gain for Paul, because he knew about the treasure stored up for him in heaven. The last benefit on living with an eternal perspective on life, and I know there are many more benefits, and I wish we had all day to talk about it. I can talk all day about this stuff. So let me give you one more benefit. You will be a greater witness and impact for the kingdom of God. Last week, we had our overnight youth lock-in. 25 teens showed up for this event. I invited my friend, Pastor Ryan Brown from the Union Gospel Mission, to come speak to the kids that night. And Ryan shared with the kids a little bit of his testimony. And for those who are not aware of his testimony, Ryan used to be a homeless meth addict years ago, and the Lord saved Ryan from all that and even led Ryan into the ministry. But what Ryan doesn't share much during his testimonies is that he has temptation still to go back to his old life of drugs. What is it that stops Ryan from doing that? You see, it's Ryan's perspective on life and eternity. So while Ryan waits on the Lord to come back or take him home, he shares what the Lord has done for him and continually does what the Lord wants him to do for others. It is the most important thing in Ryan's life, to love people and to share Jesus with people. So when Pastor Kai asked me that she was looking for a speaker, it was just natural. He's the first one that came to mind. Ryan is driven to share Jesus with people. He is driven to love because many years ago, a Christian saw value in a homeless man, a homeless drug addict, and shared love in Jesus with him. When Ryan showed up here at the church, he came into my office and we spoke for a few minutes to speak about the teens. Ryan told me what a busy day it was for him. Ryan is a very, very, very busy man. He's the outreach director for all the youth for all Spokane County for the Union Gospel Mission. And then he told me he had a 4 a.m. flight to go to a pastor's conference in Orlando the next morning. And I said, well, let's pray, Ryan. Let's pray for the Lord to give you strength, because he was tired. And after praying, Ryan, as he does, looked up on his face and had this big smile on his face, looked at me and said, let's do this. I know for sure, even if Ryan wasn't a pastor, he would still be doing this because he is a great witness for the Lord. Ryan didn't ask to become a pastor. Others saw that calling in him because of the great witness that Ryan was already doing in his life for the Lord. You see, Jesus is calling every one of his followers, every one of us, whether you are called to the ministry or not, he is calling every one of us to be a great witness for him here on earth. And don't make the mistake that this calling to be a great witness is only reserved for pastors. I want to just close on this one from Acts. Apostle Paul said, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of grace. C.S. Lewis said, if you read history, you will find Christians who did the most in the present world were those who thought most of the next. That's all we have time for today, but we have our small group starting in a couple weeks. We're going to be going over the letters to the church by Francis Chan. It's a new book. It's a new study by Francis Chan. He's talking about these very topics. It was put on Francis Chan's heart to get the church back to the mission that God has given us. And that's what has been on my heart over these last few months. We got to get the church back on the mission, which is to bring heaven here on earth, to build God's kingdom, which starts with Christ loving us and then us loving others. That's the job of the church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. I thank you for the comfort, the hope that you bring us through your word. You are always speaking into our life. It's just right. Sometimes it's right on people's tables with dust covered. Oh, I just pray, Lord, if that's the case for some people here and they're struggling, Lord, that you would just put it on their heart to take that dust off the cover and open it up, because you have a word to speak to them as well. Lord, I pray that you would help this church, help us, help me live with this eternal perspective, even despite the pain, the suffering, whatever comes our way, Lord, that we will remember the treasure that's stored up in heaven because of what we do for you. We don't earn our salvation, Lord, that was all paid for on the cross by you. But Lord, you tell us to go and build your kingdom here, and we need you, and we're thankful for the treasure that you have given us because of that. Be with us the rest of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.